You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody, thank you for listening. I believe I am live. If the chat room can just let me know if they can hear me, that would be much appreciated because I'm still new to doing this live thing. And I believe I do have B on the line. Are you there, B?
Hi, I'm here.
Awesome. Okay, good. Awesome. We were having some technical difficulties to begin with, but we figured it out. I'm not going to be able to take calls on the regular call-in line, but if anybody has my Skype and wants to connect with me that way, I know Southern Seamstress is in the chat right now, so please join us if you would like to. But thank you so much for joining me again tonight, B. B was on the show, I believe it was just last week, right?
Yeah, election night.
That's right, a night that we will remember forever. A night that changed history forever.
With the God Emperor Trump.
The God Emperor Trump coming to power. And his wonderful orange skin and retarded hair. Yes, I'm just, you know, he is so sexy, B. I mean, I would let him grab me wherever because, wow, he's hot.
You know, Sinead, you know, you're just ranting because, you know, you're a bitter feminist and you want to be grabbed by the pussy by Donald Trump. You just know
I
you
do.
Want to.
Oh, I totally do. I mean, that's totally what I want before I die. Maybe one day I'll get my wish. But seriously, I'm seeing people write all over the place, you know, like, who cares if you grabbed him by the pussy? People, he's hot. Like, what woman actually thinks that's hot? Yeah, there might be some gold diggers out there, but come on. That's not hot.
Exactly, yeah. And anybody that tries to criticize Donald Trump and the fact that he hasn't even been sworn into office and he's already backing off on half of his promises. It's like, are you really surprised?
That's exactly the point that I'm trying to make with people. It's like, oh, we're gonna wait and see. We're gonna hold his feet to the fire. Well, if you were really gonna do that, why didn't you do that back when he was speaking at AIPAC and getting down on his hands and knees, like, I'll do anything for you, Israel, please, I'll do anything. And people are like, oh, well, he's just playing the game, guys, I don't know.
Exactly, and I don't understand why so many people in this supposedly pro-white movement fail to overlook the fact that his grandchildren are Jewish, his daughter converted to Judaism. Why is this being overlooked? His son-in-law is a Jew. Why is this being overlooked?
Well, according to people like Brian Rue, the new, like, guru of the alt-right, he says that that's actually just called having insurance, B. Yeah, no, that's what they call, he said in Russia they call it having insurance. It's like, that sounded so Jewy to me. I could hear some Jew in Brooklyn that I used to have to be around saying that. You know, like, well, you want to have a bunch of Jews around you, it's insurance. Like, no, it's not. It means that I'm surrounded by friggin' Jews.
Exactly. And another thing that's, another little, you know, tidbit of information that seems to be being overlooked is that no goy gets to the top of the financial and business world without getting fucked in the ass by kosher. This is just the common
literally, though. Like, you are so, wow, you're blowing my mind that you are saying these things. It's like music to my ears because people don't get this. And when you say literally you know, fucked in the ass. I know it's disgusting, but no, literally, like, that is part of their initiation into these fucking gay, pederast, faggot cults. They have to have someone do them in the butt. I'm not even kidding. And they allude to this all the time with their little symbolism that they use. And usually, you know, these are great blackmailing techniques too. And that's what, you know, like that Lolita Island that Jeffrey Epstein had.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so fucking sick. Is anybody surprised that these kosher fucks are raping children? It's like part of their culture, you know? It's just so gross.
It actually is literally part of their culture because
cultural heritage.
That's no, it really is. Like, near and dear to their hearts, child rape. Because in their disgusting book, The Talmud, it talks about how it's okay to rape a 3-year-old. Not a 2-year-old, though. They have standards. You
gotta have age of consent.
Two-year-olds don't have all their teeth yet, okay?
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like talking, like, oh, it's just, it's, no. You know, she's off the breast milk. She's practically a woman.
Seriously, no, that's sadly, like, okay, B has been really keeping tabs on the day. Like, I go in there once in a while, but she's been keeping tabs on what they are saying in there, and it's just so insane. I mean, we can talk about that for a second. I'm going to pull up some of the screenshots so we can raid some of these gems.
Sure, yeah. You know, the Daily Stormer says that they're supposedly the number one alt-right website, so I'll go and check it out occasionally, and it's like every thread. It's just some of the shit that is on these threads. I couldn't even believe reading it. It was just awful. Like, talk of marrying off, literally, like Andrew Anglin says, within 2 years of a girl's first menstrual period, which is the average age in the United States is 12. A girl gets her menstrual cycle at the age of 12. So we're talking about marrying off 14-year-old little girls to be impregnated by the time they're 15 to, like, 30-year-old men. It is so fucking pedophilic, and it is not European. And I see this a lot. They're like, oh, well, you know, girls have always married young in European culture. And that is just simply historically not true. But and I see this, I think last roundtable we talked about it, this almost creeping Sharia into a movement that's supposed to be for the betterment of white men and women.
That's, you know, right. Yes, yes. So well said. I think creeping Sharia is the best way to put it. Because, you know, they're playing at some of the injustices that white men are feeling, and rightly so, because, I mean, they have been kicked while they're down for fucking long. I hate it. But they're, instead of being like, hey, it's this nasty fucking Jew that rapes children over here, and that's who we have to blame. Instead, they're like, look at this beautiful white woman. See her? She's your enemy. She wants to kill you. And they're like, what? Really? But that doesn't make sense. So, yeah.
A lot of these, I think where a lot of these men, and not all of them, again, we're not trying, anybody listening, Sinead and I aren't trying to cause infighting or, you know, all that retarded shit. This is, you have to understand that to be a woman and to have sisters and female relatives, and eventually I'm going to have daughters one day, and to hear these men that are supposed to be pro-white supposedly saying shit like women aren't people. There's literally screenshots if you don't believe me. literally one guy said, women are objects, they're not even people. To hear that, you know, saying women need to be locked in cages, women shouldn't be educated, to hear that and then look at all these wonderful white women, my female relatives around me, it's like, you know, it's very concerning, very, very concerning, you know?
Absolutely. It's absolutely concerning. And like you said before, it is not European. It's not European at all. Yes, our people might have been poisoned by a mind virus and, you know, had some bad times, but that's not our true nature. I have some of the screenshots pulled up here so we can go through some of them.
Read them.
Now, I want to add, too, that this is totally, you know, I'm sure there's some dupes in there, but this is such a big effort right now to push this divide. And we know the Daily Stormer is an enemy outlet. So, Yes, for everyone out there, you know, we're not saying like, oh, white men are evil, blah, blah, blah. No, this is a huge, I think the Daily Stormer is actually trying to make white man look bad.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah.
Because seriously, okay. You know, if they have that like neo-Nazi image of the redneck white supremacist man that, you know, takes his wife by the hair and beats the shit out of her and is like, bitch, make me a sandwich. You know, that's the image. That's the Hollywood image of what a National Socialist is. So they're not only scaring white women away, they're creating a negative stereotype for white men, and it's just screwing everything up. So here's some of the screenshots. Okay. Women's maternal instincts are being used against them by the Jews. Now, I do somewhat agree with this point, okay? So this is what they usually do. They'll say something that you can agree with and then throw out something like this. Mm-hmm. It's about time Aryan men owned their women again and kept them away from this shit.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Like I don't really understand this mindset. I'm a human being. I mean, I'm not property. I'm not some. And this speaks for all white women. We're not property. We're not brood mares. We're not breeding girls. We're human beings. We're wives. We're mothers. You know, we're eventually. And if we're not mothers, we will be. And you know, we pass the culture, the European culture, onto the next generation of white children. I don't understand this Semitic mindset of wanting to dominate, of wanting to oppress, of wanting to subjugate the very people that, you know, is raising the next generation of white children. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
And you know why it doesn't make sense? Because you're not a disgusting Jew. Because seriously, think about it. If you're in the mindset of a disgusting Jew, you're like, oh, damn it. White men and women are starting to like team up against us. Shit. Okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. Check this out. We're gonna make all the white guys pissed off at the white women so they can't actually unite against us, you know? And it's having an effect right now. It's really poisoning people, and that's why, you know, we are the antidote to that by just shining a light on it and just mocking it. So here, I pulled up another one from Daddy Anglin, Daddy of the cult, okay? Says, women are not physically capable of making adult decisions. 19 likes.
Oh, that's just simply not true. I mean, I'm surrounded by women around, white women, and they are just absolutely amazing. I have doctors in my female doctors, you know, white female doctors in my family, you know, and these women are going out and saving lives every day. And it's just simply not true that women cannot make decisions. That's just simply not true, you know, at least from what I have seen. I don't know if these men are just dealing with, you know, women that aren't of good moral character or what, you know?
I'd say they're not dealing with any women at all. I'm sure they run in the opposite direction as soon as they get a whiff of them. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. When I look at just like all the women that I've known in my life or that I come into contact with on a daily basis, I see them do it in a lot of cases, and this isn't to like be anti-male, but I see a lot of women that are really having to pick up the dead weight of some of their partners where, you know, like they're doing everything. They're cooking, they're cleaning, they're working, they're blow, and it's, you know, and that's insane. Like, I don't think anybody should have to have that many demands placed on them. Just looking at my mom, I mean, she was the soul. She cooked, she cleaned, she worked full time, and she was still expected to do the womanly duties of the house even while she was doing just as much work as my father.
Exactly. It's just really such a shame that so many of these men, and again, any males that are listening, me and Sinead aren't saying all of you. We're saying it's this small faction of you that are pushing this manufactured gender war. And it's such a shame because these men really, they seem to take the approach to women of the Madonna whore complex. You know, women can, they're either saints on a pedestal or they're dirty, low-down, slut whores deserve to be used and controlled and dominated and then thrown out. And that is just no way to approach our kin. That is no way to approach our folk. These are people. They are sick. They are sick. We do not kick our people and attack our own people who they are down. That, you just don't do that, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And I don't know if it's my connection, but you were cutting out just a little bit there. No, it's not your fault. Let me see. Do you have a microphone or are you talking into a phone?
Oh, I'm on my laptop.
Okay, let me see. I just want to see if the chat is hearing that. It's not your fault at all. These things happen all the time. I just want to make sure that everybody can hear you. But it seems like no one's really saying anything. So I think we'll just keep going. And I was able to hear you. It was just kind of like cutting in and out a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
No. Again, it's not your fault. I'm just thinking. Can you say something?
Hello.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it's still happening. I'm thinking just for the sake of, you know, everyone being able to hear you, let me try, and I hope I don't screw this up because I'm new to this. I'm going to hang up, or is there any way you can hang up, B, and then I call you right back and see if the reconnection helps with the sound quality?
Sure thing. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay, so we're just going to have her hang up real quick, and I'm going to call her back after she hangs up because the connection was a little bit messed up. And if people in the chat could just let me know, it says that she's still on the call. So let's see. I will remove her from the call and then I will call her back. Thank you everybody for sticking with me here. I am new to this and I was getting some interference in sound coming from B. So I don't know if you guys were, but I want everyone to be able to hear her. Let's see, B, is that any better?
Can you hear me?
Much better, much better. Okay, perfect.
Perfect.
Very good, very good. So, yes, we were talking about, oh, yes, you reminded me of something when you were saying that it has to be these two extremes, right? Either like the motherly mother is so beautiful and chaste and pure, and she just sits there and crochets all day, and, oh, she's a lady, just like Jean Surplus wants. And then you have the whore, which is like the, you know, the opposite of it. And you reminded me of something really creepy, and I'll send it to you later if you want to watch it. Yeah, it was quick. It was like 20 minutes, but it was a short little documentary on this Islamic feminist cult. And it's really, yes, it was so friggin' weird. So you have, it took place in Turkey. You have the extreme of, right, like totally covering up women, you know, only letting a few little eye holes open, you know, and then it kind of, there's so many different levels of that dress in a country like Turkey. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have these quote unquote feminists who all have over the top plastic surgery, bright blonde hair, you know, huge breast implants. They look like porn stars, and they're all Arab, but they have Aryan features. So they've gotten plastic surgery to make themselves look like Barbies. And that's the other option that is given to these women. It's either you cover up completely or you are a plastic whore. And the cult leader actually calls them his kittens.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Are you sure that it's not is it funded by Mr. George Soros the way Femin is?
I would not be surprised if it's funded by some nasty Jew, because, I mean, that just sounds, it's the dialectic, you know, you're either a whore or you're, yeah. And, you know, I think this whole idea of women being inherently destructive, and I think that's really what we can boil down this mind virus that's being pushed onto our folk. I think that's really what it boils down to, is that women are inherently destructive. You know, don't open Pandora's box. They're out of control. They have to be kept in chains, literally, because they will destroy the world. This all comes from the Semitic mind virus of Christianity, of the Abrahamic religions.
With a lot of all three Abrahamic religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, they all treat their women like shit. And there's always, there's always some, you know, it's Pandora's box or Eve's curse. And tying back to the whole Madonna whore complex, our women, white women, are so much more complex than that. There's not one or the other. There can be a varying shade of gray, you know? There's people aren't, white women, our folk, aren't, shouldn't be seen in such black and white terms, I suppose.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it, because even just look at how diverse we are in appearance, you know? You have so many different shades of blue, so many different shades of green eyes, red hair, blonde hair, brown hair. You know, so we are much more diverse in our expressions of who we are. So that is not only based on looks, but it's also in, in how we act. You know, not all women, white women, are going to have the same goals. I don't believe that all white women have to be mothers. I don't believe all white men have to be fathers. You know, to have this like standard, you know, every one size fits all thing for such a diverse group of people is not going to work. And that's why I see it really is Sharia trying to say women must act like this. Yeah. Men must act like this. If you don't, you're not fashy, and you are a degenerate lefty, and you need to be thrown out of a helicopter.
I mean, a lot of these, you know, I mean, there's alt-right women that hate women, too. You know what I'm talking about? with white women, it really seems that there is this massive push to just essentially be a broodmare, and or what do they call it, breeding vessels, breeding girls, just these disgusting Semitic terms. And, you know, I mean, having a million white kids, that is, I really can't make it much more clearer to people, that is not going to fix the problem. The Jews are still going to have their usury. The Rothschilds are still going to control every central banking system in the world. Popping out, you know, 20 kids, although it would help, it's not going to solve the overall issue. I mean, how much more simple can it get? I don't understand.
I know. And that's why I just am bashing my head against the wall talking with these people, because a lot of these pro-whites now, they've got sucked into this because of this, this Islamic terrorism, which a lot of it is completely funded by Israel, pulled off by the Mossad, and it's a complete fabrication. That's not to say that all of these Arabs raping our people and terrorizing everybody are not to blame, you know what I mean? But this is completely orchestrated. So a lot of people are totally being focused. It's the sleight of hand magic trick again that the Jews always do. Look over here, Islamic terrorism, as they are the ones that are flooding them all in. And then they want everyone to fight Islamization, fight Islam, fight Sharia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've even had people saying that, you know, it's like, well, no wonder you're getting banned from YouTube. You've crossed the line. It's like, what line have I crossed? If there's either free speech or there's not. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
It's so true.
Yeah. And it's really just, at the end of the day, it just comes down to the Jews that are really pulling the strings and the money system. And that's why these Trumpaholics, I can't tell if they're just retarded or if they're paid or both, because the mental gymnastics that these people do.
Oh my gosh, when you control money, when you literally own all the world banks, when you own, you know, when you have a fucking usury, when one family owns all the central banking systems in the world, they own the political system of all the West. It's really quite simple. And Trump, I'll probably get shit for this, but he's a Jewish puppet. A Jewish puppet. This has been planned.
Yeah, absolutely. It's music to my ears hearing you say this, and most people are going to say, oh, you're just a defeatist. You don't want to keep hope alive. It's like, no, I have all the hope in the world. That's why I'm trying to bitch slap you all to wake up, because I need you. I need everybody to stop believing in this lie, because we're not going to get anywhere if we're living in a freaking lie.
Exactly. I mean, you for a while, it's, you know, I mean, it's nice to be a part of this movement with their, you know, Make America Great Again hat. And then I can see, you know, it's a little bit of hope for some people, but some people can call me a defeatist, but I'm just a realist. I don't see how electing Donald Trump is going to change anything. Jews are still going to own all the central banking systems in the West, thus the political systems. Jews own the media, they own the culture, they own the schools and the schooling systems. I just don't understand how Donald Trump, with his civic nationalism and not racial nationalism, how is that going to change anything?
Exactly. And I'm just sick of the hysteria, the mania. I mean, it's reached an all-time high where people that I really had respect for, I've really lost a lot of respect for, and this doesn't mean that I will never talk to them ever again. A lot of them, I just have nothing to say at this point because I want to strangle them. But, you know, it's blowing my mind. I have never witnessed something like this. And I was actually back into the Ron Paul thing that was a while ago. And I never actually have voted for a president in my life. But I thought, yeah, maybe this guy Ron Paul, you know, he's saying he's going to end the Federal Reserve. You know, even Ron Paul had a stronger platform than Donald Trump in regards to actually getting the money system back into the hands of the people. You know, he wasn't very racial, I guess you could say, but, you know, I would much prefer the Fed be ended than, oh, closing down the borders. Wow, so you're going to close down the borders so we can be stuck in here still being slaves with a bunch of brown people that are here, stuck here now? I mean, like, the only way for us to actually move forward is to end the Federal Reserve, to get rid of these parasites, you know?
I don't know, especially with Donald Trump, he completely ran, and that was a big problem that I had with the conservative party, is how cuckish they've become. I don't even like using that word, because that's over, you know, it's overused, but anybody can be a conservative. Like, I even saw black Trump supporters, and it's like, okay, well, right away there, I know, if, you know, if niggers support it, then no, not for me.
Well, I mean, that should tell you something, right? Like, okay, this is a civic nationalism here. This isn't racial. This is like, oh, let's all get along and hold hands in the big giant casino brothel that is the United States now. Like, oh, well, we can all, you know, Trump is like our daddy and he's gonna take care of us. It's just,
it's creepy. It's creepy.
It's creepy as hell. And you know what's even more creepy is that this guy is not even a freaking politician or business tycoon. Well, politicians really are actors, but he, you know, this whole business tycoon image is a complete fabrication in my opinion. I think it's just another one of his acting gigs. He's a professional wrestler. People have grown up watching this man on their screens, on the TV, in the movies. You know, so this is just a neurolinguistic program, in my opinion. He's been anchored in our minds as the rich CEO guy that's gonna stick it to the man or whatever. So I think that's been programmed in our minds. We do have a wonderful caller that would like to join us. We have Thule Productions on the line. Are you there? Can you hear us? I don't know if it's connected yet. Looks like it is still trying to connect to him. So I will just let that go. But he actually, Hi there, we're going into a break and we're gonna shoot down to the other side.
You're not always at your computer, but that doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android, TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
Of the night.
right, everybody. Welcome back. I just want to let everyone know, I know Daughter of the Gods has tried calling in. Unfortunately, I did not sign into the account where we can take calls from the call-in number, but if you are on Skype, you can add me at Sinead Lemon, L-E-M-O-N, and then D-A-E. I just think this is so funny. I created this Skype account so many years ago when I was, like, too tired to even make an account, and I spelled lemonade wrong. It was supposed to be Sinead Lemonade, but I was just too lazy to fix it, so now that's my Skype account. So if you want to call in, please, by all means, do. And we have Thule Productions on the line. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hello, can you hear me? I'm not sure if my headset's working right.
I sure can. You sound loud and clear.
Okay, I had to quickly plug in my headset because I usually use a stand mic on my Xbox One up there, and I was like, oh crap, I have to plug in, and that's so you don't get the reverb and echo from my speakers.
Well, no reverb, no echo. It sounds good. The headset is working.
Well, thank you for having me on. I just got wind from my comrade Wolf that your radio show was going. And he was pointing out, so I was trying to figure out how to call in there, and then I saw the call pop up.
Yes, I'm glad that we were able to connect. Like I said, I didn't log into the correct account to be able to take the calls from phones, but we are making it happen here on Skype, and I just want to say, well, first of all, for people that aren't aware, this is Stefan from Thule Productions, and he came out with a really awesome video recently just saying, you know, why these white nationalist women are being attacked so heavily, and he broke it down really well, and it's because, you know, it's such a powerful message coming from the women, and our enemy is terrified of that. And I really appreciated you making that video, because a lot of the ladies have been getting a lot of crap, and a lot of it's not from our own men. A lot of it's these faceless avatars and Jews hiding behind accounts, or non-whites that, you know, want to break us all up.
Oh, yeah.
So,
indeed, the true wage is war by deception, and there's people out there that are being paid, you know, by the ADL, even by the Mossad, to basically just do one thing. All day sit there on the internet, infiltrating white nationalist sites, forums, pretending to be white nationalist, inciting infighting, inciting rumors to cause a fight between people, and then basically watch the chaos unfold. And the problem with a lot of people is they immediately jump on stories as if they immediately believe it to be truth. That's something I was discussing in that other video about fear-mongering and people jumping on stories as if it's, you know, already proven to be undeniable, you know, facts. When in fact, it's just, you know, fabricated.
Yes, that's really how they wage their war. It's all psychological manipulation, lies, cunning, finding people's weaknesses. I mean, think about the vice industry with the pornography, the drugs, the blackmail, you know, the money laundering, all of it. I mean, that's what they do. They completely just destroy nations by kind of infesting themselves within the structure and then just kind of chewing out the foundation, and it all just crumbles. Mm-hmm. I see them as little rats, like little moles that come and burrow themselves under things and then like chomp at all the wires and just destroy everything. that's how I see the international Jew. So we do have another lady that wants to join the call, and I want everyone to stay on if you guys would like, because I love doing roundtable kind of calls. I think they're the best personally. So we are going to bring on Daughter of the Gods, and I'm really excited because I've never gotten to actually speak with her before. She's made a lot of really awesome pro-European, pro-white videos that are, you know, showing the beauty of our people, the magic of our soul, of our European soul, and she's a very talented artist as well. I have one of her drawings hanging on my wall right here. She made a beautiful drawing for me. So, Daughter of the Gods, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, it sounds really clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sick, so if my voice sounds, like, terrible, that's why. I hope you can hear me clearly.
I know. She's been getting sick for a while. You had strep throat, right?
Yeah, I get it at work. I have to go in every day in the morning and start my shift, so I'm out there, like, really early, and the cold keeps like taking me down. So,
well, I
but
think
I'm working in there, so I like my job. But I just keep getting sick. So if you can't hear me, just ask me to say something again or repeat myself because I'm just kind of sick.
Oh, well, you actually are coming through really crystal clear. Whatever phone you have has a really good mic because you sound good.
Okay.
I'm so sorry that you're sick, but I'm really glad that you called in to chat, and maybe this will lift your spirits a little bit. I don't know if it'll make your throat hurt less, but
yeah,
who knows? Maybe laughing will help. I don't know.
Yeah.
So were you able to hear the beginning of the show? We were just kind of chatting about this whole divide of white men and women.
Yeah, I heard, I didn't hear it from the beginning, but I was hearing what you guys were saying, the mistreatment of women, and I think that, honestly, in my opinion, I think a lot of that started with the anti-feminist stuff, and don't get me wrong, I definitely don't like feminism. I think it's definitely anti-white, and it's got a lot of terrible just degeneracy, and I don't like it. But I think that this obsession with trying to destroy it was used to manipulate our people to just destroy white women in general, because we've taken that and have completely just changed it to where just white women as a whole are the reason why all of society fails, and that's just really ridiculous.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great observation. There's a massive difference, which is what me and Shanid are trying to, talk about. There's a massive difference between feminism and women's rights, because if you look back through history, I believe, Shanid, you did a great segment on this where, you know, women were institutionalized for having their periods. I don't want to go back to that era.
Right, and this whole idea of going back, you know, reactionaries, we need to go back. No, why the hell are we ever going to go back? We need to keep going forward. That, you know, we can take things that worked from the past, but, you know, to just go back to something that clearly didn't work makes no sense to me personally.
Well, if we're going to go back to something, we should go back to the equal balance of man and woman in our indigenous pagan belief system that we once had before it was completely smashed out by the Semitic religions. If we're going to go back to something, we should go back to that balance of man and woman where it was respected.
Yep, that's what, unfortunately, that's a massive critique that I have of a lot of these Christian nationalists in this movement, is they want to return to this Abrahamic patriarchy.
Yeah, the patriarchy, the Christian patriarchy. No patriarchy or matriarchy should be destructive. It should be
right.
A perfect unity where both sides are respected as a human being.
Yes, there was, and that's what I love so much about, I don't mean to get on, you know, the topic of religion, but that's what I really love about paganism, is that it is the true religion of Europe. It's been in Europe for, you know, archaeological evidence has suggested it's been in Europe for over 20,000 years. Christianity has only been in Europe for less than 2,000, and in paganism, there was a divine feminine and divine masculine. You know, one gender should not suppress the other. It should be completely balanced, you know?
Yes.
That's what nature is. It's harmony. You know?
I have a few things to say on that topic, if you don't mind.
Go for it. Go.
I believe that the destruction of our white race began a long time ago, and I think I believe it started already with the Roman Empire.
Uh-huh.
I believe that with the expansion of the Roman Empire with Julius Caesar, the destruction of the Druids and the Celts, and expansion into the Celtic Isles, into the Germania, was the first step. It later continued on with other mass murderers, for example, Charlemagne the Frank, who destroyed our Saxon ancestors, killed 4,500 of our Saxon chieftains at Verden, one of the greatest treacheries. And I believe that was already a plan at that point of the Jews to subjugate our white European ancestors.
Yeah.
The merchants.
To a Abrahamic foreign religion, to basically disconnect them, not only from their heritage, and from their beliefs and traditions, but from the gods and the ancestors, in order to weaken them. And what we see today with the Kodenhof-Kalergi plan is basically just a continuation of putting us into extinction. And if you look back at our ancient ancestors, whether it be the Thracians or the Scythians or even the Sarmatians, you had actually women fighting alongside the men. They were called Vala. As a matter of fact, the Vala women were considered divine prophetesses who were also warrior women and who accompanied the men into battle. Wow. And there's plenty of these stories out. I mean, the Amazon story actually essentially comes from the Thracians and carried over to the Sarmatians and the Scythians, you know. And so there's a balance between the feminine and the masculine. We have that example amongst the Asir and the Vanir. When you look at Old Mother Frigga or Vanadis, or also known as Freya, or you look at Idun, these are all very important leading roles of goddesses in the pantheon that have specific characteristics, responsibility, and tasks that are absolutely integral to the balance of our pantheon. And we are made in the image of our gods, and therefore we are an extension of them. And we should take by example, you know, what our gods, how they exist, and you know what they do. And I believe we should return, you know, to an era not like, you know, 100 years ago. We should go back to the ancient times, the way our ancestors lived before they were Christianized and disconnected from their heritage, from their sacred blood and the traditions of the gods.
Yes, that's great. That's well put. You should have been a poet.
That was beautiful. No, sir. Speaking from the soul, you know, that was, you nailed it.
you make me blush now. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say to you, because I didn't greet you, I want to say hail, sir, and I wish you good recovery and the blessings of All Mother Frigg. After all, she's a healer goddess, so I hope you recover fast and swift.
Thank you.
I listened to your video on that topic just the other day, and I was telling my boyfriend about it. And I found it very, very interesting what you had wrote about it. And I wasn't surprised to find out that the creepy merchants had their hands in it. So it was really inspiring. And I found your channel not too long ago, but I have added a few of your shows to my music player. And I listen at work when I do my job. I listen to radio shows at work, so I'm always learning something, and I've been listening to some of your stuff, and that was one that I definitely found interesting, and I really like your channel, and I like your work, and I saw that video today that you had uploaded about Sinead and just in general white women who are mistreated, and I just thought what you said was absolutely spot on. I thought it was really, really great, and it's nice to see white men who have their head glued on there really straight, and they know what they're talking about, and they're not being fooled like so many people are today and being manipulated against their own people. And I think it's such a shame that people have just allowed themselves. How can you be so fooled into becoming a new version of that one thing that you hated so much, whether it's feminism or anything, just even the male equivalent version of feminism, things like that, and you're becoming that in your own way, just a brand new version of it. And I think that what you said was very inspiring, and I'm so happy to see white men who are intelligent and are pagan, and I think it's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel honored, and in turn, it inspires me. That when I can inspire others, it in turn inspires me. And there's no need to thank me. If anyone deserves thanks, it goes to the gods. After all, we are guided by them.
Absolutely.
You know? We are driven to do what we are by them, and we owe it to them, you know, the strength that we have. Their strength is our strength. But thank you nonetheless. I feel honored.
Yeah, it's true. She's everything she just said was absolutely spot on as well. It's absolutely refreshing to see a white man that he's pagan, he loves his heritage, he loves his kin. It's amazing to see you not fall for the Semitic mind virus and say, white women suck, white women this and that, and then as a result, they would like to see their own women subjugated. You know, that's not the way of our people, and that never has been, you know? So I'm so happy to see that you have not fallen for that, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I have a great admiration for women. I also know that women are more gifted spiritually than men. One has to but look at the real society. Spiritual mediums capable of seances, automatic writing, even channeling. It's always been that way, that women have been more gifted at being priestesses, being prophetesses, being able to commune with the dead, with the spirits of our ancestors. It doesn't mean that man cannot be spiritual, but women are, in fact, naturally more gifted at it. That this is why, the reason why it is a sin, you know, to cut one's long hair, it has not so much, it does not only have to do because, you know, it's part of their femininity, you know, as a woman, but a woman's long hair, a symbolic of her spirituality, like spiritual antennas. To cut her long hair is like cutting herself off from her own spirituality and her connection to the gods and the ancestors.
Yes. Yes, and especially wearing high heels, walking on pavement, you know, we are not actually grounded on this earth. You know, those are the things, cutting a woman's hair, having to wear high heels, having to wear constricting clothing. It cuts us off from our power. And I see the man as the one that, like, protects this spiritual power. Like you said, he is the physical pillar. It does not mean that he cannot be spiritual, but he is the protector of that, you know, that woman that, I don't know what word you would use for it, the channeler of the ancestral knowledge, or, you know, the man has to guard that, and that is the most important job.
Absolutely agreed. I think that it's incredibly important, and, well, I mean, you know me. I think maybe you've seen a picture. I know I've known you for a while now.
Your hair is long.
My hair is down to the back of my knees.
Yeah. Awesome.
Me too.
I think that it's so important, and I've always said this, and everybody always thought I was so crazy. I always said that I always feel like, you know, I guess we kind of relate things to trees, and that may be because of ancestral memory. We relate to spiritual, you know, things with trees and things with forests. But I've always said that long hair reminds me of roots, and it's like the roots to our body. And I think that both men, if they can have long hair, they should have long hair if they can. And I think that especially important for women. I really do believe that, and I always let my hair grow, and I always feel like if something were to happen to my hair, I would probably feel like a part of myself was lost or destroyed, mourning a part of myself. And I think that it's very, very important to respect that, and our ancestors knew that, and that's why they would often cut their hair off too, and they would take them before they killed them, they would cut their hair off and just disgrace them and desecrate them. And I think in the Bible it says, there's a verse that says men shouldn't have long hair. And I think that that's very disturbing, because I think that now it's almost like we've taken men with long hair and turned it into something that's not, I don't want to say feminized, but in a way it's become like these weird beta guys are starting to wear their hair long, and now I guess people don't want to be perceived as a hippie or something, so men don't see long hair as powerful, but it really is. And I think that men should see it as powerful, and women, and I think it's incredibly important. And as far as what you said about women being more spiritually in depth, I think maybe that might have something to do with the fact that women have that. Certainly the man is equal to the woman, but in their own unique way. And I think that because women are the bringers of life, and we open a circle, we open a like a portal from another world, and then we release it into this world of life. I think that maybe that's why we also, our natural gifts as females is compassion and just a general sense of nurturing and care and love. And I think that that helps us to really feel those emotions and connect with our ancestors. And I think every day, no matter what we do, whether it's music, art, or growing things in a garden, or whatever talents or special things that you have, you should do those with honor and act in a way that you would respect your ancestors and bring them honor and respect the gods. And if you're happy and you feel empowered by the gods, then you should do things to make them just as proud of you. And I feel like that. I feel like you should share that pride and really show, hey, I'm a European. Look what I can do. Here's what my ancestors have passed to me, these beautiful skills, and I'm going to really show the world. And as far as spiritually, I think that paganism is a key role in bringing back the soul and spirit of our people. It's what really opened my eyes. Nothing else did until I discovered my pagan roots. And when that happened, I discovered my ancestors, and it brought me back to the person that I was always born to be. It wasn't like discovering a religion. It was like coming home, like opening my eyes and realize I had found what I've always been looking for.
Oh, yes. I'm the exact same way. Obviously, with the, you know, obviously Christianity is the norm nowadays. I was raised somewhat loosely Christian, and I always felt like a part of me was missing. I always felt like I wasn't complete. And then I started looking into paganism and the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and like you said, it was like coming home. It was, there was something so awe-inspiring, something so holy about thinking of your ancestors. You are the summation of thousands of years of your ancestors. That is so holy and so awe-inspiring and so much more amazing than some rotting kike on a stick, you know?
And I wanted to say something about what you said with the women and being, you know, the channel, you know, that opens portals, the gift of life. For example, a lot of people may not know this, but Odin learned his magic from a goddess, and he learned it from Freya, who used to be a Vanir. You know, before the war between the Aesir and the Vanir, Freya was part of the Vanir pantheon. Then after the war ended, you know, a truce was made and an exchange of the gods, and Freya and her brother Frey, the ruler of Alfheim and of the elves, and their father Njord went over to the Aesir. It was Freya who taught Vanir magic to Odin. As a matter of fact, Odin was cast out of Asgard for a certain period of time because at first the Aesir shunned him for learning feminine magic. And he left for a while and he expanded his knowledge. He even sacrificed an eye of his at the Well of Mimir to gain greater knowledge. And he returned more powerful and wiser than before, and he taught and showed them that what he had learned had made him greater, and then they accepted it. He learned his magic from a goddess, and that was Freya. Wow. And Idun is the giver of life. She has the apples that give the gods the immortality. And without her, they wither. So, yes, women are symbolic of life-giving. And without women, the race dies out. So, but what you said is indeed exactly true. That's exactly how it is.
Well, too, you know, you really hit on something, Daughter of the Gods, when you were talking about how, you know, a woman's power comes from the healing and nurturing. And when you think about it, the man goes off to spill his blood in battle, right? To secure a future for his people. A woman spills her blood every month in preparation for creating a new life from that blood. So that, you know, it's just, it's so interesting how we complement each other and what we are capable of, but the roles are so different, but they're complementary. And, you know, a man goes into battle with his sword, a woman goes into battle with her womb, you know, I mean, she's giving birth to the new life, and it is a battle within itself, you know, it's not an easy task. So I just think that's really interesting. And also when you guys were talking about the cutting off of hair, think about what they do in the military, right? As soon as you get there, they buzz cut your hair. And, you know, with mind control too, a lot of the times these people will start shaving their hair off. Chemotherapy, your hair falls out, right? So when we're being poisoned via chemicals or mind viruses, the hair disappears. And I think it's really interesting that they made this hippy-dippy musical called Hair that came out, I believe it was in the 60s or 70s. Joyster actually reminded me of it the other night. And if you haven't heard any of the songs from this musical, it's very disgusting and very perverse. There are a lot of songs in there that are really degenerate, and I just think that was interesting, trying to sell us the whole hippie culture but degrading our true roots of our hair, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my hair down to my knees, and the reason being is that again, I wanted to honor my female and my male ancestors. We are made in the image of our ancestors, and I thought, well, you know, This is how our people wore their hair for thousands of years. Why should I be any different? I don't want to have one of these, you know, butch dyke haircuts and not look feminine. No, thank you. You know.
Right. I completely agree. Kyle just brought up a really interesting point. Infantry, right? They in the military they call it the infant tree. So they're making them bald. They're basically bringing them back to babies and then reprogramming them in the boot camp, the rebooting of their system, and they're reprogramming them. Honestly, guys, so many people I've known that are in the military, they are never the same after that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I have a very good friend, and he served in Afghanistan, and he's actually a white nationalist as well. And you go over there, and they make you into a, he called himself a good little goy soldier. You just take commands. You don't think about it. You just learn to take commands. And it's just not a healthy mindset for young men to be, young white men to be receiving. But I know that's all part of the kosher plan, probably.
Well, they break the spirit of these young men and women and then remold them into something that they want. I've had so many family members that, like, grandfathers and great-great-great and so on, grandfathers that have fought in, like, basically almost every war that we've had. I've had an ancestor on either side of my family who has been a part of that, and I think, you know, I respect my ancestors, and I think to all these horrible things these people had to see and had to witness, and how it changed them and affected them. And everyone that I have ever known who has been in the military, it's changed them in some way. And a lot of these people come home and they feel they're never the same, and they have all kind of meds that they're putting on them, and they have PTSD, and eventually there's so many suicides. It's just, it's horrific. They feel like there's no other way, and they just can't go on anymore. And a lot of the times, there are European genetic people, like white people. It's always, it seems like that's such a high, it's a high rate. And I think that it's really awful. And I think protecting our people, both in the military, vets and stuff, I think it's really important, because they're just going to put them on, I think Sinead calls them psychotropic drugs. It's true. And it's awful. And I think the things that could really help heal our people, they make it to where it's illegal. Like, they're starting to, there's a small group of men who were in war, and they're using cannabis now.
Yes.
And of course the government wants to keep them from doing that, and it's helping them so much. And they've got these awesome things they're setting up where they go in the woods and go camping, just as men who served, and they're out of war now, and they need to feel that bond between men, and they have a lot of PTSD and stress, and they have really cool programs that they set up now for those people.
All right, Daughter of the Gods, and everyone else, hold those thoughts, and we will be back on the other side of this break.
Okay, little Jimmy, as a 4-year-old child, I trust your judgment to make life-altering decisions about your body and gender. But where can I get some help for this?
Well, we can help. Here at the Michelle Obama Academy for Transgender Children, we will convince you and your child that gender is just a social construct. Bruce Jenner knows that just because you were born with a penis, that doesn't mean you need to be a boy. It means that you need to chop it off and get a neo-vagina. At Michelle Obama's Academy for Transgender Kids, we know the importance of chopping off genitals.
Before my very eyes, a vision to me, don't put out this fire. It's burning for, burning for me, burning for you. Stand within the sunlight, press against me, takes me back to other times, different days. Love I do surrender, belongs to me, belongs to you. Lay down on me, naked gypsy, watching you bathe in water.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Okay, I don't know if we're back. The music just cut out randomly, so I don't know if anybody can hear me on the call still.
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought the call got lost for a moment there.
That's really weird. Okay, I guess it just cut out, so we are back. And before we left for the break, we were talking about mind control in the military and how they basically will break someone down before they build back up. So go right ahead.
You know, there was something I wanted to say about the reprogramming of individuals. It reminds me of something. And people out there may have watched at one point in time, you know, the Star Trek Next Generation, the Deep Space Nine, the Voyager thing, and probably know about the Borg. And when you watch that series, as I have, you know, in that series, the Borg assimilate entire species. Like, they take away the individuality, they reprogram them into some sort of cyborgs, and they have no longer any sort of individuality, just a sort of collective of this sort of existence, right? And if you look at this, what they do with, you know, recruits, you know, at these boot camps in the military, it's essentially kind of the same thing. They break them down. They take away their individuality. They turn them into automatons that basically just answer with yes, sir, no, sir, without questioning what they may be doing, whether it's morally right or wrong. They're just basically turning them into nothing more than automatons, like drones, you know, to carry out, you know, whatever order is given. And becoming part of what I call this collective matrix, this unnatural collective where there's no sense of individualism anymore at all.
Yeah, yep, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, they do the same exact thing in cults and in these MK Ultra brainwashing facilities. Mm-hmm. And you know what was really interesting? I made a connection watching Josh Reeves' film called The Spellcasters, which he gets into the connections between the CIA, Scientology, cults, mind control, and Basel, Switzerland, where Chris Dorsey has, well, a man called Chris Dorsey has educated us all on the Bank for International Settlements, which is located in Basel, Switzerland. Well, it appears that Basel, Switzerland was also the place where the protocols were found, correct me if I'm wrong, and also seems to be a major hub for MK Ultra, which I believe at first was called Project Artichoke, and then they changed it to MK Ultra. So I'd say that MK Ultra techniques have been used on every single one of us. One of the biggest techniques that they use is trauma-based mind control, and I'd say that people that have been in war are experiencing the trauma-based mind control, as well as all of us that witnessed these events like 9/11. You know, these massive events that are supposed to inflict trauma upon all of us, and that in a sick way bonds people together and forms these, it implants these ideas into their minds, and it controls their reality.
Absolutely. I think the public fool system, the public school system, I think a lot of the young trauma starts there. I think that it's already starting when we're kids and we're put into this disgusting public fool system. And they train us like that experiment, Pavlov's dogs. The kids, they sit there, they do what they're told. And then when the bell rings, they get up, move to a new room, sit down, and begin doing the study again. It's very disturbing, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and it's just really terrible. And I know that when I was in school, I had a horrible time, and I couldn't really do the work. I was always bored out of my mind, and I just hated it. It was just so awful, and I couldn't wait to get to art class or just go to lunch or go outside and play. And then when I got older, I had 2 years of homeschooling, and when that happened, I passed with flying colors. I was a really happy child, and I had no stress. And just the system in general, you're already starting that multicultural manipulation because you're taking these children. I mean, I always say it like this. People who have evolved for hundreds of thousands of years in certain areas of the world have different cultures, lifestyles going back thousands of years. All of a sudden, you're taking these people out of nowhere in just the past few thousand years and shoving them together in one little area, and you're starting with the kids, you're not going to have a society that's going to be absolutely perfect. This multicultural dream world where everything's all happy, it isn't going to exist. It's not.
Yes, and unfortunately, that's a lot of what white nationalism has gotten a bad reputation for, is being hateful, which, again, a lot of it ties back to, all of it ties back to Jews. But, pertaining with children, especially in schools, to multiculturalism, they're starting it now in fucking preschool, excuse the language.
Yeah.
There's, like, I'm not kidding, they're reading books about, like, I'm getting so triggered talking about this. Literally teaching children that it is normal to have butt sex, to like literally have two daddies and two mommies. It's like no.
yes, absolutely. It's insane what they're teaching these children, and teaching them that they have to accept gays and they should actually be curious about their sexuality. These children aren't even sexual yet. They shouldn't be talking about these things. But we do have Chris on the line. Chris has done a few wildcard shows on the network, and he has joined our discussion tonight. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Is there anything that you wanted to add right away, or do you want to just listen? Are you there?
It sounds like his microphone is a bit away from him.
Yeah. Are you on a phone, or the sound isn't really good? Hello, I'll try one more time. Can you hear us? Okay, it appears that he cannot hear us, so I'm going to hang up. Okay, oh wait, now he's typing. I don't know, Chris, if you want to try calling back in. Can everybody else still hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, good. He says he's going to change his microphone. Okay, we will try that. So real quick, sorry, Hugh in the chat added that you know, in the 60s, with all of the LSD that was being handed out like candy to everybody, and all of the, free love and all this, and then that mixed with the JFK assassination, which in my opinion was either, you know, well, obviously it was, you know, documented on purpose. There, you know, they had the camera set up. There was foreknowledge. Now, there's arguments as to whether it was real or fake, but it was definitely, people knew what was going to happen. There was foreknowledge. So that mixed together created a huge trauma-based mind control event for the American population and the world, really, at large. And you saw the same thing with 9/11. All of these Mossad terrorist attacks in air quotes, that are going on in Europe and America. And this is what bonds people together, and not in a healthy way, but in a mind control way.
You know, and when you read Hitler's Mein Kampf, he talks about the youth. Back then, even in Austria, where it was separated, you know, from Germany, and Austria had to survive for centuries, you know, against the invasion of the, you know, Islamists, you know, from the south. The youth was also constantly targeted at school, trying to be reprogrammed. But many of them didn't let themselves allow themselves to be reprogrammed. They rebelled. You know, they held on to march songs. They spoke out. Yeah. And when you look at World War II, the Hitler Youth and Bund Deutsche Mädchen, They fought, and they fought even more fanatical than the Wehrmacht itself. I mean, there's countless stories of them out there where they fought to the last boy without, you know, wanting to surrender.
Wow.
You know, and even League of German Girls manned 88 flak cannons, you know, that were basically turned to shoot the tanks. They were manning them together with Hitler Youth boys and even facing and dying in battle.
Wow.
And, you know, the as Hitler said, the youth, die Jugend ist unsere Zukunft. The youth is our future. And the Jews know to target our women and our children is the most essential goal, because that's where they're trying to stop, you know, our strength from rising up. But, you know, yes. I see something in our movement. I see a lot of youngsters that are not letting themselves be programmed. It's almost they have something inside of them that puts up a fight. Like the older generation
yes.
of people
yes.
are a lot harder to awaken, but the younger ones, you know, I
yes.
see a lot of 18-year-olds and 16-year-olds, they're questioning this establishment, you know, they're interested in our pagan, you know, past. They're interested in National Socialism, you know, and I see a lot of hope there, so...
Yes, yes, I completely agree, and I actually believe that it is our ancestors that can tell that we are in danger, that our race, our people is in very real... the reality is they're going to be gone in a couple generations if demographics continue, and I believe it is our ancestors within us calling for us to wake up, to save our folk, to fight for our people, you know?
Yep.
What's the German saying? I believe, ein Volk, ein Führer? Yeah?
Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. Indeed.
There, you can do it much better than me. That's a motto that whites, not just youth, but all whites should live by, you know?
Indeed, I agree. But you know what? Even if things may look, you know, that, you know, desperate out there, we should always remind ourselves. We live in our immediate surroundings, you know, we, based on what we, you know, we look towards online, what is happening out there. But I don't believe the situation is as bad as a lot of people, you know, think. That doesn't mean we should, you know, relax and that we should... you know, let down our guard. We should continue to fight ferociously.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is people should not make the mistake of thinking this situation is hopeless, because it is quite on the contrary. You know, our enemies like to use the internet to spread false information out there, make it look though as none of our people are fighting back. But how do we know this? I mean, I asked a girl, you know, a woman on my channel, you know, if she had traveled, you know, to every country in Europe and talked to every single white person that she had met. I asked if she had talked to every single white neighbor of hers to know if they're aware of what's going on. You know, because I said, how do you know that, you know, there is no awareness? Have you talked to everybody? Have you communed with them? You know, I said, you know what you know from your immediate area and from what you read online, but that doesn't necessarily mean that is exactly, you know, how the entire situation looks like everywhere. You know, and that's what we should keep in mind. Our forefathers, our elders, you know, of the NSDAP, whether it be Joseph Goebbels, Heinrich Himmler, or Rudolf Hess, you know, or Adolf Hitler, or Alfred Rosenberg, or others, they gave us the blueprints to change, to fight and combat
yes.
that which our enemies are throwing us. So we must use it, you know?
Yes, I mean, I've observed in classrooms and coming back to the whole aspect of youth, there is something within white children that fights. There is that warrior spirit, that fighting spirit. And again, that's why they're targeting women and children so heavily. It's because they know that, you know, the fighting spirit of a people generally... comes from the children and the women. So you target that, you completely destroy and control a race of people, you know?
Yeah, and the rebellious nature of our folk is they know that we have that, and they basically take it and corrupt it. So they'll give you your little counterculture. In the 60s, it was the free love or the LSD, and now it's the MDMA and you know, rave culture, and everybody loves everybody, you know. Or you can have your alt-right counterculture as well, which is just another flavor of communism. And
yes, and I see this a lot with comparing Trump to Hitler. And I say, you know, Trump, do not insult Germany or people of German heritage. Trump is no Adolf Hitler. Give me a break. Give me a fucking break. This man was one of the great saviors of not just Europe, but the white race. And to compare this kosher-controlled orange little shit to a man as great as Hitler is beyond insulting.
Good.
I agree, and I did make a video on that too early this year about Donald Trump, how he's a controlled Jewish puppet. Now, outside my second last video I made, you know, which, you know, the subscribers are aware of what the video that is, in which I was talking about Donald Trump, outside that whole factor, just looking at it from our stance here politically, he's a Jewish puppet. I mean,
yes,
you know, his daughter's married, you know, to a Jew.
Jewish grandkids, yep.
Jared Kushner, I believe his name was.
Yeah, and their children look completely, they look very Jewish. Have you seen their, I don't like to harp on children, but the children look very Jewish.
Yeah, they look very Jewish, and actually recently there's this huge video that's viral. It's Ivana's little daughter singing a Chinese song, and she's dressed in like a Chinese outfit, and there's Chinese characters in the background, and she's like, ah, ching, tong, tong, chong, 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 and everyone thinks it's so cute, and not to totally shift gears here, but I think China is way off of everybody's radar. We're like, oh, Israel, oh, Russia. No, China.
China's infiltrated by Jews, too. This is already something I talked to with a comrade of mine, you know, like back in 2008. And they were already infiltrating China back then, marrying into, you know, Chinese families, you know, because that's what Jews do. They were called in ancient times Edomites. I mean, the term Jew comes from what? Tribe of Judea, Judah Iscariot. But they were called Edomites, identity thieves. They never have an identity of their own. So what do? Like vampires, they blend into other societies. They marry into royalty. Mm-hmm. Take over these royalties and then try to pass on as these sort of, you know, body snatchers, I almost want to call them, in the sense that they basically take on the identity of another race and try to pass themselves off as that race. You know, that's essentially what they've done with China, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, in China, I was looking into it, there are actually Chinese Jewish names that are the equivalent of, you know, a Silverstein or a Greenberg in China. And when you look at just how big that place is and all the people, it's a little bit concerning.
But you know what? The Jews have nowhere else to go and run now to. I mean, back in the 15th century, they could go over here, they could go over there and play that same game over. But this is at the point where globally they have really nowhere else to run. And the world is awakening, not just the white race. There's other races out there that are awakening too. I mean, look at the East, you know. Look at the Middle East. I mean, look at Iran and Syria, you know, Lebanon, the Hezbollah. You know, they've been fighting armed conflict against, you know, the Jews and the Zionist regime of Israel for a long time. And you look at other parts of the world. I believe the whole world is wakening up to the Jewish menace. And once the whole world has woken up and already combat that, Jews have nowhere else to run. Where? Unless there's some sort of spaceship waiting in there.
Underground. They're building underground. No, they know what's coming, and that's why they're burrowing like little freaking rats. Yep. Just something real quick that someone sent in the chat here. The Chinese police patrol in Italy to make tourists feel safer. So we have Chinese police officers in Italy. Patrolling the streets. Chinese policemen are in Italy to start patrols with Italian officers in Rome and Milan in a 2-week experiment.
Oh my god.
We're gonna have Ching Chong fucking China people patrolling our streets soon, you guys.
Jesus. That's not the only thing. Long Beach Harbor in California is sold to China.
Yes.
It is Chinese territory, including the port down here near me by West Palm Beach. Also Chinese territory. As a matter of fact, they can act out Chinese law and rule on that harbor. That means if you go there, yeah, and you do something wrong, they can actually arrest you, detain you, and enact their Chinese rules. it's almost like they've sold, you know, American territory, you know, ports to China, as if saying, hey, China, you know, if you're ready to invade America, here we present to you harbors you can land your fleet conveniently, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They're actually buying up all of Africa. They're buying up, they're building cities in this country.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that you see so many, you know, Negroes screaming to the high heavens about white supremacy and white racism. And I say to them, you know, China is colonizing your shithole of a continent, and they're not going to be as nice as Whitey was. And you will see that, and you're, once you realize that, you're going to come begging us to recolonize it. And we're going to say, nope, on your own, nigger.
Nope, been there, done that. Got raped, got murdered, no thanks. Yeah.
Well, just as far as even just Donald Trump in general, one thing I've noticed is people are, like, worshiping this guy like he's a god. Like, I've never seen people be, I mean, I've seen people, like, you know, their presidential candidates, but this time it just, and I mean, I'm only in my 20s, so I haven't seen, like, a lot of elections. But I'm just saying, even in my lifetime, from the time I've been able to understand what an election is, I've never seen people so, like, just enthralled and obsessed with a candidate. And I mean, like I said, I mean, it's normal for most people to be excited about whoever the candidate is. But, man, this is taking a whole new height to where we've almost got a subculture where they literally call Donald Trump God. And so it's really disturbing.
It is disturbing. They say that these are parody religions, right? Like the Church of the Subgenius, who worshipped this guy Bob Dobbs, who really kind of looks like Rockwell a bit. But yeah, oh, it's just a joke. It's all just a joke. Ha ha, kek, LOL. No, it's not a joke. These people actually really believe this.
Yes. They worship Trump like he's some demigod, you know? It's very disturbing. It's like almost cult-like.
It is cult-like.
It's a savior complex is what they're doing. It's tapping into a savior complex. And I think I believe that the savior complex goes all the way back to Semitic origins with the new incoming Semitic religions into Europe. You know, a long time ago, I think that savior complex, this obsession with wanting somebody to rule over us and letting them do that because we feel like we have to have somebody else to do everything for us because we're too scared and we feel like we don't have the power anymore and it's not in our hands. I think that that obsession with that has allowed so many, whether they're bad kings and queens or presidents or government leaders or whatever you know, power, people who are in power over us. I think that obsessive savior complex started with the Semitic religions coming into Europe, and it's probably even deeper than that, but I think that that has a lot to do with it, and it doesn't surprise me that they're calling him God when you think about it in that way. It started with a god, so it would go down and root itself into this. It's just really disturbing to see it become so prevalent out of nowhere. We've taken a major culture shift just over the last 5 to 10 years, but especially lately, I think that the alt-right has become a liberal version of conservatism, and I think that just especially the youth and the young people in their 20s are really becoming just enveloped by this weird culture, and it's like they think it's edgy, like anti-feminism and Donald Trump. It's called controlled it's so obvious to people like us. It's controlled opposition. They put that there for a reason. Do you think they're really going to let you go and be rebellious against the group of people that's controlling you? No, they've got it specially set up so that you stay in your little box and you don't do anything else to cause, you know, a ripple in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like my comrade Wolf just said here, the Jews want to maintain the status quo. Trump will maintain the status quo. They don't want, you know, the society just collapse yet. And, you know, as far as the savior complex goes, I mean, I'm a pagan, and I believe in the gods. But I also know this. The gods help those who are willing to help themselves. And unlike, you know, maybe not all Christians, I'm not bad-mouthing all Christians. I know there's some Christians out there, like my comrade Sean, you know, who's a soldier and willing to fight, you know, at any time when, you know, fight is, you know, ready to be taking place. But there's a lot of Christians out there that sit and wait. That are not willing to prepare themselves. They think they're just going to be saved. And I think that we need to do our part, you know, regardless of what our beliefs are, because I think it's expected of us to fight, you know, even if we're, you know, not being, you know, supported by our gods. because we can't just sit around on our ass, you know, and do nothing. We must do something. It's expected of us. We are warriors. We're not couch potatoes, you know, playing World of Warcraft and eating, you know, potato chips, you know?
Yes, but yeah, that's unfortunately what has been happening, and that's a big concern that Sinead and I had. When Donald Trump won, a lot of these men and women that could otherwise come to real white nationalism we're just worried it's going to reach a stalemate. You know, it's going to, oh, he won, we don't have to do anything anymore. And that is just so completely untrue. I mean, Zog still runs everything. Nothing has changed. I don't understand where they're coming from, you know?
I know.
I mean, let me put it this way. Is it out of the realm of impossibility that on a collective subconscious level, mm-hmm. that Trump could be influenced over the future, you know, subconsciously without being aware to do something that might hurt the Jews? Sure, look, I mean, Benjamin Friedman ended up betraying his fellow Jews and exposing them and betraying the Jewish New World Order. But what I'm saying is we shouldn't rely on that. We should pretend as if there's nobody in any sort of political party representing us, and that we're on our own, and that we should fight as if we're directly in conflict, in armed conflict. That's how we should basically pretend, that there is no political parties representing us, you know? And if, God forbid, you know, something should on a collective subconscious level happen with Trump, and suddenly he does something, you know, to betray his Jewish puppet masters, I mean, good, sure. But, you know,
we can't rely on that, though. We can't
rely on that.
Because that's fairy tale, like, Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney tonight. Okay, yeah, maybe he will, but let's plan that he's not going to.
Exactly. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
We must not rely on anything like that. We must continue to do what we need to do, you know, and not rely on something, you know, where we think, oh, you know, Donald Trump's going to help us. We can now sit back and watch some movies and eat popcorn. No, no.
Right, no. And the proof is already there before our eyes. I mean, we have Nick from Circus Maximus here on the network put this article together today on Donald Trump's 16-point Israel policy plan. So, you know, we're going to a break here shortly, but I'll read a few on the other side. So we'll be back on the other side for the last half.
Over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did, and what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program. And it's not just Hayez. Jewish organizations of all kinds across the spectrum of Judaism are issuing statements in support of refugees. These have included the Orthodox Union, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and so many of the Jewish organizations that you've heard are co-sponsors of this event.
We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Firestarter Radio. I am joined with B, Daughter of the Gods, and Stefan. Am I saying that right? Is it Stefan?
Yep, you're saying it right.
Okay, great. And we have Chris. Chris has changed his microphone. Is it working? Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, you're there, but it's very quiet. Can you, like, yell at us?
I'm moving my mic in.
Oh, my there we go. There we
much
go.
Better.
With Skype settings, I haven't used Skype in months. So
I hear you.
When I came on Skype, then Skype hit my sound down to about 10%. So
nice.
Do anything about that.
Love when that happens. So before we left for the break, I'm just going to read just a few of these because you'll get the point after three. But here's just 3 points from Donald Trump's 16-point Israel plan. 1. The unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel is based upon shared values of democracy, freedom of speech, respect for minorities. Oh, really? Israel is so respectful of minorities. Okay. Cherishing life. You know, I want to read these as I, like, show clips of Palestinian children being murdered and, like, you know, all these, like, Arabs being bombed by Israel for not doing anything. Think that would be really interesting because, Israel cherishes life and the opportunity for all citizens to pursue their dreams. 2. Israel is the state of the Jewish people who have lived in that land for 3,500 years. Oh, really? Oh, okay. The state of Israel was founded with courage and determination by great men and women against enormous odds and is an inspiration to people everywhere who value freedom and human dignity. Human dignity as they enslave white women as sex slaves and rape them to death. Okay, last one, and then I think you'll get the point. 3. Israel is a staunch ally of the U.S. and a key partner in the global war against Islamic jihadism. Oh my God, ISIS is such a threat, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. Military cooperation and coordination between Israel and the U.S. must continue to grow. So translation, your sons and daughters are going to go die, bombing Iran, and that's it.
No, boy. You know you want to go die for the chosen people.
Yeah, be a hero. Die for the Jews.
The chosen people of their god, Satan, the Old Testament god, which is really just Satan. I call him Loki. That's other names for him, too. El Shaddai, nothing more.
Yep.
I mean, their wickedness is the wickedness of their father, you know? And my friend Wolf just wrote something here. He said, if Trump fixed everything for whites, then whites will have learned nothing. It will just follow the next Jewish shepherd right back to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I truly believe that Jewish hatred of the white Aryan people, I truly believe that the hatred goes down to their genetics.
Yes.
That sounds crazy, but I truly believe that this hatred is ingrained in them. It goes down to their genetics. Because if you think about their history, kicked out of 109 different countries, cheat, swindled, lied their way to the top, that has to be passed on genetically, you know? That's just what
yes.
I, you know?
No, I absolutely agree. And I think it's such a jealousy that comes from them. You know, they know that they can never be like an Aryan. So they'll either try to parasite off of us, you know, off of our genetics. And a lot of that is happening at an alarming rate with the in vitro fertilization going on in Israel. Israel is like the number one place on the planet right now, or on the plane, that this is going on in. And the other is LA, which is Jew Central. So what they're doing is they're getting these Aryan women and Aryan men to donate their sperm and their eggs, and then they create these little babies in a petri dish and plant them into a Jewish woman's womb. And she gives birth to a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And that's why they market around their shiksas, right? Their European-looking Jewesses. They market those around to make it look like Jewish women are actually attractive.
If they are God's chosen people, then the gods have a very fucking sick sense of humor.
The Jewish spirit and the Jewish blood is demonic in essence.
Yeah.
And you know, there are some people that say, oh, what about this Jew? He's nice. And I said, it doesn't matter. Collectively speaking, the Jews will always follow their wicked nature. They can never change. If right. one Jew in one lifetime does not, you know, follow his wicked nature, that demonic blood in him, that demonic spirit in him will reveal itself, you know, in the next generation or in two generations. It's yep. almost like a virus that's dormant and just waiting to break out. So they can never change. They will never yes. change. They yes. will always do what they've always done. You yes. know?
Yep.
Yeah. They, yeah. It's. I believe it was our great Fjork that said that the black-haired Jewish youth lies in wait to steal girls and women away from the bosom of their people. And like Shanid said, that happens in L.A. You will not find a beautiful white woman that is not married to a kike. It's commonplace, yeah. you know? It's sickening, absolutely sickening.
Yep, you know? It really is. And now you have people like that Sarkozy, in France, right, who's saying that racial interbreeding is now going to be basically mandated by law. If you don't do it, we'll throw you away. I mean, he's saying that it's not just, we don't encourage it, it's imperative. Like, you must breed with someone of a different race. I mean, so this is going to be, it already is mandated, it's just we don't really view it that way because it's, you know, you're not, like, being told, go in a room and have sex with that person, you know? But it is being mandated in a way that children are receiving notes on their school, on their schoolwork or their academic files saying that this child is a racist because, you know, they didn't agree with this lesson. Or so they're making notes on all of these people's files and information, so they will be marked as, you know, racists because they didn't want to, I don't know, you know, like, betray their people. And then they'll be hounded and harassed. That's why our children cannot be sent to these places. We have to protect them from these places.
I mean, right here, I hear something from a document I translate from a German comrade about the Kotenhof-Kalergi plan. It says right here, Nicolas Sarkozy, born in Hungary, former Jew president of France, spoke as chairman of the European Council on December 17, 2008, in Plaisir before an elected circle of EU leaders about the great goal of exterminating the white race in Europe through violence, if necessary, if their goal cannot be accomplished through miscegenation alone. The key sentence is, what is the goal? The goal is miscegenation, race mixing. And if people are not willing to do this on their own free will, then we shall force them through governmental measures.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what Jews do. It is biologically inherent for whites to want to procreate with each other. This is why they will never destroy us, because it is biologically inherent for whites to want to procreate and have white children, pass on our genes, our genetic legacy. You know, genetics are all we are. It is who we are as people. And the Jew, like Hitler points out in Mein Kampf, is the only race of people that have ever tried to overcome what is natural, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, you're definitely on target. It's just like with the children and stuff, I think it's really ironic because they'll say like little things, like back when I was really naive and living in a fantasy world before I became educated and aware, I used to see it everywhere, and I probably shared it a few times. Babies don't know what race is. Children don't know what race is, and race is taught. But yet, at the same time, these same people will, like, I think it was Time, they made a magazine, an article that said, is your baby racist? And on the front yeah. cover, it was a white baby. Okay, well, if babies don't know what race is, then how does a baby racist? Our children automatically know. And this is every child, no matter what race they are. They want to go and be with the people who look like them, like yeah. mommy and daddy and aunt and uncle and friends, and they know the people that look like them, and that is a part of your genetics. The parrot does not lay with the pigeon. The yeah. rat does not lay with the cat. The eagle doesn't lay with the dolphin. They lay with their own species because they understand preservation. Yeah. Humans, are, although we are human, we're also animal, and mm-hmm. if you want to protect and preserve everything that you have evolved and fought for and that has been given to you by your ancestors that you should be proud of, that's how you do it, and you preserve your genetics.
Yes, and there's nothing yet. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And I can attest to that, because when I was a child, you know, after my parents were divorced, my father had a training school for, you know, dogs right next to a military base, you know, where now today Daimler-Benz and Mercedes-Benz in Stuttgart are located. And I remember my father once had to go on some sort of trip, and he left me with a friend of his, a white guy, you know, from the military base next door.
Okay.
And he was married with a black person. Black
woman.
Oh
my god, ew.
And I had not much choice because I was 6 years old. So I was dropped off there. First of all, in an environment that was completely alien to me. I mean, American military base was alien to me, just the way it looked. And I was dropped off there, and I saw these mixed children, and I thought to myself, they are so dark, and they don't look like me. I don't want to be here. I felt completely alienated. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't want anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, I remember not playing with them. I ended up staying on the other side of the room and not really doing anything. I remember my father asking me later, what's wrong? You know, you didn't like it there? And I said, no, they were brown. These children.
You know? This is just natural. It's just a survival mechanism. We try and take our son to the park like almost every day if we can. And when he sees another little child that has blonde hair and blue eyes that looks like him, you know, they don't have to have blonde hair and blue eyes, but another white child, his face lights up and they just start chasing each other all around. They're laughing, they're playing. But he's very skeptical of, you know, Asian women adore him. They always fawn over him. And so do the Hispanic women here, too. And they're very sweet. I have nothing against the people, like, you know, saying, oh, he's so cute. Look at him. Can I give him a candy? You know, I have no problem with that. But he can tell that they don't look like him. Now, is he some hateful little baby? No, it's a survival mechanism where I don't know. You don't look like my tribe. I'm not going to trust you.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with each race of people wanting to preserve their God-given genetics. There's nothing wrong with it. There's beauty in every single race of people and each people's heritage. And unfortunately, like I was saying earlier, white nationalism has gotten this bad rap for being this, oh, you know, fuck niggers, fuck, you know, fuck sand niggers, not that. No, you know, to what extent that there is that, because, you know, there's, you know, mud people are so infuriating at times. But to another extent, it's also, you know, each person wants to preserve their tribe's genetics. There's nothing wrong with that. It is only the Jews that have tried to mash us all together, you know, mash us all together and make us into some muddied, coffee-colored consumer, so to better fall under their reign, you know.
Yes,
their role.
It's destroying everybody's genetics, and I mean, people think, well, you know, you're a racist, you only care about you. No, it's not just me. Do you understand that when you're, let's say, like, black son gets with, you know, somebody's white daughter, it's not just her whose child is not going to look like her. It's also your son. His genetics are gone, too. There goes your family line. Like, it's not just us. It's everybody. And if you want to live in a world where everybody looks the same and also looks kind of weird, too, because I've seen some other magazine, it may have been Time as well, had an article a few years ago that was saying what will America look like by, I think it was like 2050, some kind of futuristic year. And all the people looked really weird, and I was sitting there thinking, damn, this is just horrible. These people, these beautiful genetics, hundreds and hundreds of generations of families just, and this is what we've come to. And I mean, I'm not going to say that these people are ugly. Like, nobody can take the blame for their parents' choices. And no, I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, these people are just hideously ugly, but I'm also not going to pretend like they look like their parents, because I, down here where I live, and I live in the South, like way rural, and even I, where I have lived, I'm noticing, and it may just because I live in a more impoverished area in the South, I notice everywhere I go, half of the store is filled with white women.
Yes.
And their kids are usually mixed, black. And the kids, if you mix them all up and put them in a room, and you said, point to whose kids each one of these belongs to, you would not be able to.
Wouldn't.
They look nothing like their moms, and I'm not saying they're ugly, like they're, you know, little kids, and they're, you know, they're not ugly, but
right,
I'm just
but
saying,
definitely, they don't
look like their parents.
You know, they don't. And I, you know, it's funny, I was actually in line waiting between a black couple and then a mother with a mixed child, and it was just like the weirdest kind of clash of worlds coming together. And the mother, she was a very attractive woman who looked a lot like one of my friends, and it was freaking me out. And she just could not control this child. She seemed very embarrassed by him, and it was just so odd to me to see this woman whose child looks absolutely nothing like her trying to corral this little, like, hyper kid. And the black couple was just looking at her like, what the hell are you doing, lady? It was just the weirdest. I felt really bad for everybody involved. I just felt like everybody was a victim of mind control.
Well, yeah, and these kids, they grow up and they're fighting for an identity. And I knew this when I was going to school. I seen a lot of that. And I had a friend when I was in, you know, when I was younger and I was in school, and he only dated white girls. And one day I was like, and this is way back when I was really young, I said, why is it that you only date white girls? And of course he was mixed, so his dad was black and his mom was white. And he said, me, my dad, and, you know, several other relatives, we only date white girls because we can't stand black women. I was like, what? Why? And he said, they smelled bad, and they were really, really loud, and the way that they live, their, whether it's parenting and everything else, was vastly different from that of white women. And I mean, I think that in that moment, that's when it finally hit me, and I think I was maybe 13 or 14 when I was told that. It really did hit me that there are so many differences just even in women. And I mean, that taught me a lesson, just that conversation when I was a kid. And if you think about it, it really is a cultural difference. The parenting difference is very, very, very big. The parenting difference, and I mean, that's just everywhere. And I think, you know, white people get this bad rap, you don't know how to control your kids. That's not necessarily true, because in the South, everyone down here, as far as, you know, people that I was raised around, white moms in the South, oh my God, there is a no tolerance rule down here. Mom is hardcore, and you don't disrespect mom, and grandma is the best. Grandma is the respected member of the family, and great grandma, she's like the idol of the family.
The matriarch.
Like, very well revered. Great grandma, grandma, and mom, that is it. You know, they cook all the good food. There is so much love in the family as far as people traditionally raising their family.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I lived in Spain from, you know, 11 to 16 years, I did not date any Spanish girls. At the time, I, you know, did not really, I wasn't as aware, you know, like seeing the Spanish people as part of the white race. When I was in Spain, I always was interested in Irish, Scottish, Scandinavian, German girls, English girls, you know. And I remember when I was in sixth grade, there was a girl that, you know, had kind of an interest, you know, into me, you know. And I once went out with her, you know, just, you know, talking about that Spanish girl, white Spanish girl. And my father ended up, you know, the next day he ended up saying to me, oh, you keep getting a phone call from this girl. Why are you not answering? And I said, I have no interest. And then he's like, is there something wrong with you? I mean, what, are you gay or something? And I'm like, no, I'm not gay. I said, I'm interested in Nordic women, women like me, with my complexion of my skin, German women, Scandinavian women, you know, women from Ireland. And he's like, well, why? And I said, because that's what I identify with.
Yeah.
That's the reason, you know. And I went at that extreme. You know, later on I realized that, you know, the Spanish people are part of the white race, you know. But even then, you know, I still believe within, you know, at least for myself, breathing within my own group, you know. I keep to a German and Austrian bloodline, Scandinavian bloodline, you know, Irish whatnot, you know.
That's why we are so diverse as a race. Yep. That's the reason why, is because we have so many, and that's one thing that I was saying to, it was a while ago, I was saying to someone, I can't remember who, I was saying to them, I said, it's funny because they say white women are, we need diversity, or we're not exotic, actually, compared to everybody else. And I'm not shitting all over everybody else and saying they're ugly. I'm saying we have the widest range of different kind of hair colors, eye colors, even just, like you said, skin tones, freckles. We have all these beautiful different things. Like, if you want a redheaded woman or a girl with green eyes or a guy with jet black hair and things like that, like, we have that, and we're very beautiful, and that preservation, that is how we have remained so unique, whether it's, like you said, like, Scandinavian, and German, and Irish, or Italian, Spain, like, all those different things is because we have preserved that, and that's precisely why we have so many beautiful white men and women, especially when you start going into Europe and you see a lot of that, or genetics that have been maintained even in America. Over here, there are certain families that have these beautiful genetics, and you can tell just by looking at their ancestors that they look like them.
By the way, I think Chris wanted to say something. I saw it in the chat there.
Yeah, I had a few points. I've known two mixed men who hate their mothers for sleeping with black guys.
Yeah.
And also, mixed people have lower fertility, and nature knows best.
Ah, well, that's a good thing about mules, right? Aren't they infertile when you breed a donkey and a horse? It creates a mule, but then they're infertile. Isn't that true?
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you know, also, too, what it gets overlooked, and we were looking into this back when we used to do that show, Aryan Women, a few years ago. Basically, you know, when these Nordic women that have very narrow hips are giving birth to, you know, like, black babies, there are a lot of birth complications. Yes. Because they can't even fit through her pelvis in the proper way.
Asian women, too, with half-white babies.
Yes.
I was just about to say that I've heard the exact same thing, because they're so their bodies, their skeletal system is so small.
Right.
I've heard that you, when it comes to organ donations, like, God forbid your kid gets sick or need a kidney or anything, if your child is mixed, I mean,
they don't have
you're putting
them.
You're putting your child at risk, and that's horrible. I wouldn't want anybody to lose their child. I mean, right. And you're
selfish.
Putting them at risk for that. And you have to understand that these kids are more susceptible to depression, other mental illnesses, and that loss of identity, not being able to identify. And I think you had a show, I don't know how long ago it was. I listened to, like I said way earlier, I listened to your radio shows, and I listened to them in all different kind of order. You had a show, I think, where you were talking about this thing that you had read about this Asian boy.
Yes.
And his mom was Asian and was obsessed with white men and married the white guy, and he hated them and he wanted to kill himself.
Yes.
But instead, he made his entire life about helping other Asian boys who have been treated like just the downfall of everything because they weren't what, you know, the Asian moms want. And I think that's also important because these kids are suffering because of it.
You know, and I wanted to make a point about that, too. I've gotten some messages from, people who are mixed who would say that they have this sort of connection, you know, to that one side that is Germanic or whatnot, and then they have that other part, you know. And they, said that they do not wish, you know, to be with anyone being celibate because they don't want to, add or aid, you know, towards the destruction of the white race any further. And I said, you know, and I have great sympathy for them. I said to them, you know, it is not their fault that they are mixed. That sin, that crime, that mistake was committed by their ancestors when they chose, you know, to racially mix. And they carry that, you know, fault on their shoulders. And I said to them, they hear, when somebody's racially mixed, it's almost like they hear two different frequencies coming in all at the same time. They hear one part of their ancestors speaking, and on the other side is that other part, you know, that's speaking to them. And that's why often you observe, you know, people who are racially mixed being extremely nervous, they're not able to sit down and be calm, they're constantly moving and being, you know, hectic and whatnot, because they constantly hear these different frequencies coming in, you know. And the only thing that I can really tell them is, I say to them, and I've got, there's some that actually support National Socialism, despite that they're mixed, they support National Socialism because they know what they are, what they've suffered because of their ancestors' mistakes. and they choose to be celibate. They still choose to support National Socialism. And I say that is an honorable thing to do. The gods would look with favor upon that. And I'm sure that, you know, after physical death, when somebody passes from, you know, Midgard, from, you know, physical world, that there might be a way to remove impurities from one's spirit, you know, to in order to render it pure again, in order to ascend to Asgard, you know, to our afterlife, or whatever you are, you know, whatever faith you may have out there that you believe in, you know, heaven or the afterlife, the beyond, whatever. But that is why it is such a horrible thing, because they have really no belonging anywhere. They're like lost souls, you know, that don't feel connected to anything.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a horrible crime. You know, they have their birthright taken away from them because of their parents or grandparents to ascend to a higher form of being, because they're constantly caught within these low frequencies, because they've lost their racial identity and they feel they don't belong anywhere. And you know, so people must understand these things. It's not just about the loss of racial identity. One has to think about the consequences in the spiritual sense additionally, too.
Well, you know, I just wanted to say something, because we are going to be closing out in a few minutes here, and I want everyone to have their final say. I just want to add really quickly that Kyle and I were chatting today as we were driving, and we were saying, you know, I think now is the time for the multicultural National Socialist Front. Now, this does not mean that we would all be living together. It means that each race would be advocating for the preservation of their race, the expulsion of the Jewish parasite, and for National Socialist ethnostates for people of all races. Mixed race people can have their own, white people can have their own, and if we can all unite, you know, to expel the Jewish parasite, I think that could be cool. So that's my take. I want to throw it to everybody else to have a say before we close out.
One more thing I wanted to say. National Socialism brings out the best in every race, because
yes.
When you look at World War II, we had Indian volunteers, we had even Africans in the Africa Corps serving as security guards and police guards, and we had even in the 60,000 Muslims. Now, this is aside from what's happening in Europe today, back then, serving, you know, thanks to the Grand Mufti al-Hussein, who was a Palestinian statesman and a nationalist, you know, serving on Eastern Front, fighting for a common goal against a common enemy. And when you take the Jews out of the entire equation, you're left with a world where you no longer have the sabotage going on, and races can live in peace in their own respective lands if you don't have these vampiric Jews, you know, turning everything upside down. You can have a world where this can exist, you know, because we've seen it already happen in World War II. That's for anyone out there who says, oh, the German were haters. Quite on the contrary. They were very respectful of the other races. It was not about hating other races. It was about establishing a world in which all of the races preserved their racial identity. It was for the benefit of everyone.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining me tonight, and we will be back again to discuss these issues soon. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
That Donald Trump endorses China. Come to China.
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 In China, they say I don't like China. I love China.
People think I don't like China. I love China.
China.
China
is the new China, by the way.
China.
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 I deal with China.
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 Big league China.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
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 Whether it's China, China.
So if you went to China and you wanted to get a job in China.
I don't knock China. How could I dislike China? The man from China. China. You have China. Carl, take China. China.
Donald Trump's there. China number one.